What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It is me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, still masking and socially distancing when and where necessary. Joined as always by Michael F. Florio, producer Steve. And Florio, we got a big show today. How are you feeling about it?
I'm super excited. This is a bucket list type of thing for me, Marcus. I've listened to live mock drafts on this podcast and many others for years. So to get to take a part of one, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, so this is what we're doing. We are doing a live mock draft on the show. I mean, I guess it's live for us. By the time you hear it, it will have been finished and pre-recorded and all that good stuff. But we're on it. The two of us, it's a 12-team PPR, just standard fantasy mock draft. It does have rookies included. So in case you hear the names, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Najee Harris or anybody like that come off the board, they are included. So it is myself, it is Florio, and it is 10 of our internet friends who are joining us as well. So we'll kind of talk about this and go through the whole show. So without further ado, let's get this thing going. And we are about to begin the draft. Here we go. So just for reference, Florio, you're picking in the third spot. I am picking in the fifth spot. Did you have a particular reason you chose the slot we did?
Yeah, I chose three because I am a believer that Jonathan Taylor should be the third player off the board. So I wanted to ensure that. And now I get to do that right now.
All right.
Jonathan Taylor.
With the third pick, Florio takes Jonathan Taylor. The first two picks, not really a surprise. Christian McCaffrey goes number one. Dalvin Cook at number two. And we've mentioned Jonathan Taylor is at number three. So we are waiting for the number four pick. I will tell you that I picked five as sort of a thought experiment. I just wanted to see who was going to be available, what I might do at the spot. So Saquon Barkley goes number four. And so now I'm sort of left with a dilemma here. Where do I go at number five? Ooh, still plenty of great options out there. I think I'm going to be bold right off the bat. I'm going to take Travis Kelce at five.
Ooh.
I'm going to get spicy right off the top and take Travis Kelce at five. Alvin Kamara goes at number six. Okay, so this is the part where you tell me that I'm a little bit too out of pocket for going Travis Kelce at five, or am I not?
I don't think so. I think, like, the other picks I would have – Kamara I would have considered, but he is so risky with who's going to be his quarterback right now. And then the only other name I would have considered there is Derrick Henry. After that – I mean, I think it's Henry or Kelce if you're sitting at five, six, seven, something like that.
I did look at Derrick Henry, who actually is still on the board now. So Alvin Kamara goes at six. Nick Chubb goes at seven. Davante Adams at eight. And finally, at number nine, Derrick Henry goes off the board. Is that late for Henry? Do you think that's going to be about where he lands? Or is that a little bit later than you would expect?
That's later than I expected. I think... To me, there's like five or six running backs that I think are like elite. And I put Derrick Henry in that tier. And I'm late to come to that conclusion because for a couple of years now, I've been like, yeah, Derrick Henry can run, but he doesn't catch passes. And every year he continues to show that it doesn't really matter for him when he could run like he can.
That's sort of the thing. And that was why I considered him at five. You mentioned the three names that I thought about. It was Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, and I ultimately went with Travis Kelce. And, you know, at some point, Derrick Henry's going to fall off. He's not going to run, you know, for 1,800 yards. He's not going to get you 15 touchdowns. But I don't think this is the year that fall off happens. So Derrick Henry goes nine. Tyreek Hill comes off the board at number 10. Josh Jacobs at 11. And I feel like this is what we talked about on the show a week or two ago, is that you get to this point in the first round, that 10-11 spot, and there are some tough choices to make because there are guys who you sort of like but don't necessarily love as first-round picks. But you got to go somewhere. I still am surprised, though, to see Josh Jacobs at 11.
Yeah, I am not as high on Josh Jacobs as the drafter at number 11 is. I have him more as a second round pick than, and even that I don't like. He's just one of those people that I draft and I'm like, all right, he could be really good, but I just don't feel great about it.
So Jacobs goes 11, Ezekiel Elliott goes at 12, and then on the backside of the turn, Aaron Jones is the first pick in the second round. I feel like with Aaron Jones, I mean, he is looking at free agency. Maybe he comes back to Green Bay. Maybe he goes somewhere else. I mean, does your feeling on Aaron Jones change if he's somewhere else next year?
Yes. Landing spot always matters for running backs dramatically, I think. But he's probably going to go to a worse offense than the Packers. But could he go somewhere like we've heard Miami is interested in? We saw it last year, Marcus, that whoever was the lead back from Miami, they were going to get, 20 plus touches a game. That was the one annoying part about Jones and Green Bay is they would mix in Jamal Williams. They would mix in A.J. Dillon at times. They would take him off the field too much for my liking.
By the way, speaking of which, the news that hit this morning coming out of Miami is that folks down there expect that the Dolphins are going to pursue a frontline running back. So it was sort of nice following the Dolphins' backfield last year, because no matter who it was, they seemed to be kind of a one-back offense. It looks like, though, that back next year might not be Myles Gaskin. So I guess that's something to sort of keep into effect. All right, so just a quick update. I am on the clock now. So Aaron Jones goes first pick of the second round, followed by DK Metcalf, Stephon Diggs, James Robinson, early second round pick, DeAndre Hopkins, Austin Eckler, and then DeAndre Swift, one pick before me, which sort of stinks. Because now I'm sort of looking at some running backs, because I feel like I need to get a running back here after taking Kelce in the first round. And so this might be a little bit of a reach, but I'm going to take Cam Akers right here. Just looking at the guys that were there, Joe Mixon, J.K. Dobbins, Miles Sanders. I like them all. I just don't know what to think about Joe Mixon. J.K. Dobbins, they're still going to run the ball with Lamar Jackson, and we'll see who else is back there. Justice Hill, maybe. I don't know. Miles Sanders right now, that offense, I sort of like it, but I don't know that they're going to give Miles Sanders the kind of workload. So I'm sort of leaning into this whole Rams Cam Akers sort of thing there. So that's why I went there. AJ Brown goes after me. So he's the ninth pick in the second round, and you are on the clock for your second pick.
The running backs, the three, you took Akers and Swift and Eckler going him before it. I was hoping one of those three fell to round two. There's a player that I don't really want to draft, but I feel like he is entirely too good of a value right now. So do I do that or do I go with what I had in mind? That's what I don't know what to do here.
Now we wait with bated breath. I'm curious to see where you go.
I went with what I... My plan was to start RB, but man, it's the end of the second round and Michael Thomas is still on the board.
Wow. So Antonio Gibson, you take him with the 10th pick in the second round. And you're right. Michael Thomas is still floating around out there, which is incredible. Joe Mixon is now gone. Is Michael Thomas going to fall to the third round of this mock draft? We have the last pick coming up in the second round.
Look how many running backs are green, and these whole first two rounds are just green.
It's just heavy green. Right now we've got 2, 5, 6 wide receivers off the board. The one tight end being Travis Kelce, and it's pretty much all running backs. Is this how you feel like actual drafts are going to go? Do you think it's going to be this running back heavy this early in most drafts?
I do. I think we've kind of gone back in time to when before the zero RB truthers were all out and about there, because remember there was a stretch where like the first three picks off the board were wide receivers. But I think we've kind of gone back to old school style a little bit, like get your running backs early, because receivers deeper than ever, in my opinion. And these running backs that can get you 15 to 20 touches a game, they dry up very quick. So I think you got to get them while they're out there, because in my opinion, after like the second, maybe third round, you're digging pretty deep for running backs then.
So after Mixon, the final pick of the second round is Calvin Ridley. The first pick of the third round is Miles Sanders, followed quickly by J.K. Dobbins. So you're back on the clock here, and there's still that big wide receiver name that's just hanging out there right now.
This is another – I feel like I might regret this, but
– oh! Darren Waller with the third pick in the third round, going ahead of George Kittle, huh? You took Waller over Kittle.
I am a Waller over Kittle guy only because what Waller did last year was better than George Kittle's best season. And what he did 2 years ago was better than George Kittle's 2 years ago season, I think it was. So I just think Darren Waller is a little bit safer, but I can't knock anyone if you have Kelce ahead of him.
So you go Waller with the third pick. The fourth pick in the third round is Justin Jefferson. So now I'm on the clock here, and I really got to think about this.
Were you going to take Jefferson?
No, I mean, I wasn't. But now, I'm sitting here and I'm staring at Michael Thomas, but the whole thing floating around in the back of my head, which is I'm sure why he fell, is what do they do at quarterback? If Drew Brees really does leave, what happens at quarterback for the Saints, and what does that mean for Michael Thomas? All right, so I got to make a decision here. I don't love this at all. I'm going to take Chris Godwin at this spot.
Ooh.
I know Mike Evans was the big thing last year in Tampa. I still believe Godwin is the guy with the most upside in that passing game. So I believed in him last year. I still believe in him this year. So I'll tell you, this is not the way I planned to start. My first three picks are Travis Kelce, Cam Akers, Chris Godwin. I thought I was going to go a couple of running backs early, but I don't love any of the running backs that are on the board right now at this point. And there's there Michael Thomas. Goes. Finally, sixth pick in the third round for Michael Thomas. Wow.
Six, seven, eight, nine. Tenth receiver off the board if I counted right.
Wow.
It very well could be the right spot if like Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback and they just run the ball a whole bunch. But seeing him in the middle of the third round just feels wrong.
Look, he was a first round pick last year. I mean, Michael Thomas was coming off the board in the same spot where I took Travis Kelce just now.
Yeah.
He was that fifth pick in the first round in a lot of leagues. Now we're talking about him middle of the third round. George Kittle goes right after that, the seventh pick in the third round. So the three top tight ends are off the board. I'm curious to see how long it is before we see another tight end get drafted.
And Marcus, we talk about it all the time, but both of us have a tight end already, right? It wasn't a long wait at all.
Mark Andrews goes right after Kittle, so we didn't have to wait very long at all for the next tight end.
I'd much rather be on one of the big three tight ends than chasing. Like, to me, that's a chase. Like, you see the tight ends going and you get Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews he's a weird case, right? In the sense that the good thing about him is that he scores touchdowns and that sort of keeps him afloat. But he's not as target heavy as those other three guys, mostly because he plays in such a run friendly offense. I look back at his big breakout season and it's just such a marvel to me because he didn't catch a ton of passes. He had decent yardage numbers and a huge touchdown number. And that just doesn't feel sustainable. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he gets, enough of the target share that it works out. But, I also said I was TJ Hockenson at tight end four too.
So. I like Mark Andrews or Hockenson in like the sixth round, not one pick after George Kittle, because you're giving up the same draft price to get that tight end. You're just getting a significantly worse tight end, in my opinion. Like, the big three are the big three for a reason. I think Kelce should go in the first round, the other two in rounds three. I could see them going in round two in some. And then after that, I just wait.
So after Andrews, who's the pick number eight in the third round, Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes at the ninth pick. Keenan Allen is at 3.10, Mike Evans at 3.11. Allen Robinson finishes out the third round. So my question for you, do you think Allen Robinson is going to be back in Chicago next year?
No. He has said he doesn't want to be franchised. He has said that he didn't even like the city of Chicago that much. Like, to me, that was very telling, because like, normally when athletes have an issue, they don't attack the city. Like, even James Harden was like, hey, I love Houston. They're my home. I just don't like playing for the Houston Rockets. Allen Robinson was like, I don't really like Chicago. So I don't think he'll be back. And I'm selfishly, as an Allen Robinson truther, I'm hoping he's not back because he has had so many targets from Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. Let's get him a good quarterback.
That is really all that I want. I'm very curious to see where he goes and if he can land with a good quarterback. I mean, here it is. He was the last pick in the third round in this mock draft. If he lands with a good quarterback, I could see that moving up, you know, maybe even a full round, depending on where he goes. So just to catch you up, see Allen Robinson, final pick of the third round. The first pick in the fourth round is Amari Cooper, followed by Chris Carson. And our first quarterback off the board, 4.3 is Patrick Mahomes, which, look, I appreciate the restraint that we waited until the fourth round to get Patrick Mahomes. I felt like he was going to be a third round. I was waiting for him to show up in the third round. So I'm sort of, I guess, pleasantly surprised people waited to pull the trigger on that one.
And in the fourth round, that, I mean, at that point, it's like, all right, that's, it's hard to knock that pick. He's Patrick Mahomes.
Right, exactly. So after Mahomes, Julio Jones, who you want to talk about, just every year, Julio just seems to fall a little further, a little further. I may have asked you this before. Are his days as an elite fantasy wide receiver over?
I'm worried that they are, but I'm not ready to put him there yet. Like, he was really banged up last year, but when he played, he still put up numbers. And yes, I do expect Calvin Ridley to take over. I have Ridley ranked higher than Julio, but not having to pay a first-round price for Julio and getting him in the fourth round, like, at that point, you can convince me to take another shot on Julio.
So after Julio is David Montgomery, and I know we talked about this before. It feels like what he did at the end of last year just is not sustainable. It was nice, but with Tariq Cohen coming back, presumably, it just doesn't feel like he can kind of keep that going. So David Montgomery goes fifth pick in the fourth round. Kenny Golladay goes number six. Adam Thielen is the seventh pick in the fourth round. So now I am back on the clock with some decisions to make. I feel like I need another running back. I'm not really enamored with any of the options that are right in front of me. So this is weird. I kept feeling like the fourth round was going to be a great bonanza and a great opportunity, but now I'm looking at all these names and I'm not really sort of in love with any of them. I got to make a pick. All right. Time is running out. I am going to kind of go a little bit wild and I'm going to take a rookie. I'm going to take Najee Harris. Who knows where he's going to land? This is based obviously fully on potential and upside as the guy who arguably is the number one rookie running back in this class. You know, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, landing spot will have a lot to do with it. But feeling like I needed a running back, feeling like I wanted upside and not loving any of the other names there, that's where I went. And immediately right after that, another rookie goes, Travis Etienne, comes off the board right after Harris. And then you go Terry McLaurin. So your strategy kind of worked out pretty well. You went two running backs, a tight end, and a wide receiver. How are you feeling through four rounds?
I like this approach through four. And Terry is someone that I'm pretty high on. I think Scary Terry has all of the talent in the world. Like, I think he can be a fantasy wide receiver one. He has shown us that for stretches of his career. The only thing I'm hoping is that the WFT go out and upgrade their quarterback position because, I mean, we saw what a mess that was last year and how a change at quarterback could really change his value. So I'm taking a little bit of a gamble there, hoping that they upgrade the quarterback, but I love the talent that is Terry McLaurin.
And you know, the talk is that the football team expected to part ways with Alex Smith. I mean, not a huge surprise. He was obviously a great story this past year. But in terms of trying to build at that position for the future, you're just not going to build it around Alex Smith right now. So we'll see what happens with quarterback in Washington. But Terry McLaurin goes at 4.10. Right after him is our second quarterback. Lamar Jackson goes at 4.11. Thoughts on Lamar being the quarterback two off the board?
Do not love it. It's hard to argue it because what he can do with his legs, he's the only quarterback to ever have two 1,000-yard rushing seasons. But Josh Allen went right after him, and I would rather have Josh Allen. I'd also rather have Kyler Murray.
So, yeah, so Lamar goes 4.11. The final pick of the fourth round was DJ Moore, and then coming back on the turn to start the fifth round is Josh Allen. And then there's Kyler Murray coming off the board right after him. So actually, we have a team with two quarterbacks. It went Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray with back-to-back picks. That is a surprise. So a little bit of a miniature run on quarterbacks. Three of four picks were quarterbacks, and then CeeDee Lamb. You go CeeDee Lamb. So you got a couple of nice young wide receivers. I like the team you're putting together right now, Florio.
Thank you. I'm not sure if Lamb would have been my highest ranked wide receiver, but when you go with this approach, like, and you wait on receivers, I feel like you need to take some guys that have upside and can outlive. And I think CeeDee Lamb is a prime candidate to finish as a wide receiver one if Dak can stay healthy.
Oh, if Dak stays healthy, I think he's definitely set up to be a wide receiver one right now.
Marcus, who do you like more, Lamb or Cooper?
I like Lamb.
Me too.
Here's the thing. I stayed away from Amari Cooper last year because I just felt like he was too volatile week to week. But then last year, he wasn't. He was actually fairly consistent. But I just wonder if that is really who he's going to be now, or if that was just sort of a one-year thing. Okay, so after CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp goes. So Cooper Kupp goes off the board before Robert Woods, which that's a surprise to me. I'm on the clock right now. I'm going to double down on running backs, or I guess triple down, and I'm going to go Kenyon Drake here, which I feel like in the fifth round, I feel better about it. I don't know exactly how they're going to use him this season, but I do think getting him with a fifth round prize for a guy who was what, a low end running back one, basically. If he can do that again, I feel a lot better with him in the fifth round versus taking him at the end of the first round last year. So I think I'm okay with that.
I like that pick.
Thanks. So through four or five rounds, my team right now, Travis Kelce, Cam Akers, Chris Godwin, Najee Harris, and Kenyon Drake. Robert Woods goes sixth pick of the fifth round, so right after Drake.
You were in a Rams wide receiver sandwich.
I am. Kupp, Drake, and then Woods. So the two Rams wideouts sandwiched around Kenyon Drake here. Since we've had a few quarterbacks come off the board now, and we are about to hit free agency, we've seen a couple of quarterbacks, three big name quarterbacks, relatively big names, traded. Hey, now we have a USC wide receiver run. We go from Robert Woods to Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe we can get Nelson Agholor in here too at some point. I'm not counting on it.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, right. Get Amon-Ra in there. Deontay Johnson actually goes after Juju. What I was going to ask, we've seen some quarterbacks traded. Deshaun Watson says he still wants out of Houston. Russell Wilson is sort of making noise there in Seattle. I would think we're going to see maybe some more movement, whether or not it's Drew Brees retiring, what have you. How much is that, do you think, going to shake up fantasy drafts? Are we going to see a lot of quarterback movement in fantasy drafts, or are we pretty much set at the top right now?
I think it's possible we see a lot of movement, because if Deshaun Watson moves and wherever he ends up, you know, like his wide receiver one, I could see really shooting up the board. If I know it sounds far-fetched right now, but if Russell Wilson is traded, like DK Metcalf's value is going to take a huge hit. And I could see like Terry McLaurin, someone that I took in this draft, like I could see him climbing if Washington goes out and lands a quarterback. So I think the first round is going to look pretty similar to how this one does, but there's going to be a couple of players that I could see dramatically switching value based on what happens in free agency and with these quarterbacks.
So after a couple of quarterbacks go early in the fifth round, this has turned out to be a very wide receiver heavy round. We've got CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp. I'm the oddball right now with Kenyon Drake at the running back spot. But after Drake, Robert Woods, Juju, Deontay Johnson, Odell Beckham, Tyler Lockett, Devonta Smith has just come off the board with the 11th pick in the fifth round. So we're just waiting on that final pick in this fifth round. So, you know, it's funny. We kept saying that the fourth round was going to be wide receiver heavy. Turned out it was the fifth round where everybody went heavy on wide receivers.
And you're still getting some really good wide receivers in round five. Like, really, I would feel good with pretty much – like, there's some that I would have taken. Like, I would have taken Deontay over Juju or Woods over Kupp. But, like, I feel okay with either of those guys in my starting lineup.
Are you surprised – at the number of rookies we have seen so far? We got Harris, Etienne, and Devonta Smith. Surprised that we've seen three rookies this early in this draft.
No, I'm a little bit surprised that we've seen Devonta Smith, but the rookie running backs, like you took Harris in round four, right? And Etienne went in round four. Like, if those guys land in a favorable spot, like, look what happened to Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. He, right. He went from like the fourth, fifth round to the middle of the first round, and like Jonathan Taylor had a good landing spot and he got so like I think seeing a rookie running back in like round three is going to be the norm.
That has kind of become, I guess, more of a consistent thing lately. I mean, you know, remember, it really wasn't that long ago. You know, Ezekiel Elliott came in the league and we were talking about him as a second round pick, maybe even a late first round pick. And the response was always, well, he hasn't played a down in the NFL. I feel like that's gone away now. I feel like people don't really have that concern as much anymore. Maybe it's because we are reaching for potential quality at that position. People just don't seem as scared to take that fairly early round shot on a rookie running back as they used to.
I feel like it's gone like the complete opposite. Like, people want to take that rookie now. Like, I feel like rookies are all the rage right now in fantasy.
You're probably right. I don't know. Do you think this has to do with the rise in dynasty that you know, people who play dynasty are like, yep, let's go get a rookie.
Yeah, I do. And I also feel like a couple of years ago, there used to be like, you know, after the Super Bowl, like a breathe period for football. And now, like, no, like now week 17 ends and everyone is studying film and they're looking up all these rookies and they're putting out takes. So I think that actually elevates the rookies. And I wrote an article on it last week, actually. I think rookies get too overvalued now in fantasy football. There's only like one or two. Last year was the exception. Last year's class was really good. But on average, there's usually only a handful that are really worth taking as early as they go.
So just to catch you up here, as we go into the sixth round, Cortland Sutton, first pick of the sixth, wow, followed by Russell Wilson. Raheem Mostert goes at 6.3. Justin Herbert comes off the board at 6.4. So Herbert is what, your second, fourth, sixth quarterback off the board is Justin Herbert, followed by Brandon Ayuk, and then Justin Fields. So you talk about rookies being coveted. Justin Fields is off the board ahead of Trevor Lawrence when you're talking rookie quarterbacks.
I don't want to – I mean, two rookies back-to-back.
And then Trevor Lawrence goes right after Justin Fields, which actually works great for me. I was hoping Deshaun Watson would fall in my lap, and so I will gladly take him in the sixth round.
Yeah, that is a great pick, Marcus.
I guess – is it that people are just worried that he's not going to play? Is that what it is? I don't know. Well, you're on the clock here. So you focus.
I was hoping to get Javonte.
So Javonte Williams goes right after Deshaun Watson. So he's the ninth pick in the sixth round. So another rookie running back off the board here. So we've had five quarterbacks taken in the sixth round.
Make it six.
Make it six. So Dak Prescott, Florio takes Dak Prescott with the 10th pick in the sixth round, followed by Jamar Chase. So the rookies are starting to fly off the board right now. So is the sixth round, is that the new quarterback round right now? Is that what we're doing?
It feels that way. Although, Marcus, I will say, give me Dak and Watson over the rookies. I know these rookies are really good, but I'll take Dak and Watson all day.
I'm still a little bit struck by Justin Herbert going just after Russell Wilson. I mean, I know we all love Justin Herbert. That still kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
So waiting for the final pick in this sixth round. So how much do you think these draft boards are going to change after free agency. Free agency hits in basically a week and a half, 2 weeks. I would think that a lot of this is going to look very different depending on how free agency shakes out this year.
Yeah, I think so too, because like a player like Allen Robinson could shoot up the board. And there's a lot of these players that where they sign and where they get drafted is going to change a whole lot, because especially with rookies right now, we're taking those up. Like, I wanted Javonte Williams bad. But if he ends up, you know, in like a situation like A.J. Dillon was in, then that changes everything.
Right. Okay. So after Dak, Jamar Chase goes. DJ Chark finishes the sixth round. TJ Hawkinson starts the seventh. I think that's a great pick. I think that's just great value, especially after you had four guys go in the first three rounds. TJ Hawkinson goes in the seventh. Brandon Cooks, a second pick of the seventh round. You went T. Higgins in the seventh. Aaron Rodgers is the fourth pick of the seventh round. So now I am back on the clock here. And yeesh, I'm looking at the running backs that are out there. I don't love any of them. I only have one wide receiver, so I should probably go that direction. All right, well, I'm going to go another rookie. I'm going to take Jalen Waddle here. I'm just kind of playing upside here. I think I don't feel terrible about only having one wide receiver to that point, because I do feel like there's depth there. I think with me drafting Harris and Waddle, my draft board could look very different. When we get to May, and these guys get drafted somewhere else.
This is the big flaw in my approach, Marcus. If either of Gibson or Taylor goes down, I'm in a really bad spot.
Yeah, because you've got the two running backs early. For context, the running backs left on the board right now, you got Todd Gurley, David Johnson, James Conner, who very well may not be back in Pittsburgh next year. Leonard Fournette still there, Melvin Gordon. Then you get to Miles Gaskin, Lev Bell. It has thinned out really, really quickly at this point.
And that's what happens. And that's why I know there's a lot of zero RBers out there, but like, I got T. Higgins in the seventh round. I think T. Higgins could potentially be a wide receiver one, and Tyler Boyd went in round seven, and you got the upside rookie, and there's still other wide receivers I like out there. But I look at the running backs and I'm like, I don't want any of them.
Right. So after Higgins goes Rodgers. I went Waddle. Tyler Boyd goes at the 7.6. Melvin Gordon at 7.7. David Johnson at 7.8. Marquise Brown is 7.9. And Kyle Pitts comes off the board, the rookie tight end. He is the 10th pick in the seventh round. So just for context, he goes ahead of Zach Ertz, Gronk, Evan Ingram. Those are Hayden Hurst, Hunter Henry, some of the tight end names still on the board that Kyle Pitts goes ahead of.
Marcus,
thoughts on that?
When we remember last week when we did our tight end when we did our tight end podcast, and I said my fear for Kyle Pitts is that he's going to be the sixth tight end off the board. He was the sixth tight end off the board.
So there it is. So Pitts.
Someone tweeted me that they think he's going to be the fourth tight end after the big three. They think it'll be Kyle Pitts, the next tight end.
I don't think it will be common. I wouldn't be surprised to see it. I think especially, I feel like this time of year, especially, you're going to have people sort of reaching and seeing if they can kind of make that splash. Couldn't be me, but but I wouldn't be surprised to see that. So Pitts goes near the end of the seventh round. The final two picks of the seventh round, Todd Gurley, Miles Gaskin. The eighth round starts with Tom Brady, followed by Evan Ingram. And I think we talked about this, but I feel like this is kind of a put up or shut up year for Evan Ingram. Like, you know, we're still waiting for him to kind of match that rookie season. And I think if it doesn't happen, if he can't have the, you know, take the leap this year, I just don't think it's going to happen for him.
Yeah, me neither. And he's someone that I'm not really looking forward to draft. I've been burned in the past, and maybe that's a bad approach, but it's hard for me to go back for more.
So after Evan Ingram, Ronald Jones in the eighth round, which I think is great value for Rojo.
I was hoping he fell to me.
Yeah. That's a news headline. That's a news headline. Florio was hoping that Ronald Jones fell to him. So after Jones, Robert Tonyan, who I think is going to be a very polarizing pick this year. Matthew Stafford at 8.5. I was hoping Will Fuller would fall to me, but he does not. He goes with the sixth pick in the eighth round. I was eyeing him, and that didn't happen. So there he goes. So we're waiting on the seventh pick in the eighth round. Is there any roster, you look at any of these rosters, anyone like really jump out to you at this point? As Deebo Samuel goes just ahead of me. Ah!
Were you hoping for him? I was hoping for Fuller or Deebo, so...
Now I'm kind of scrambling. Any of these rosters though that jump out at you that you really like right now?
I gotta say I do like big fella 2-3. He started off Henry, Robinson, CEH, and then still got Julio, Odell, Marquise Brown. Like, he got upside wide receivers with his proven running backs. Then you add in Tonyan and Herbert. I think his roster is shaping out really nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad roster at all. Obviously, I think Odell is kind of a question mark. I just don't know what to expect from him. But I think there's some potential there. Obviously, if he looks like the old Odell. All right, clock's running down. I got to make a decision. I'm going to take a swing on James Conner, mostly because he's my fourth running back in the eighth round. And so if it works, great. If not, I'm not really pressed about it. But I do feel like I need to start hitting the wide receivers. I've got two. I got Chris Godwin and Jalen Waddle. So I really have to kind of come back and hit the wide receiver spot hard. So you looked at the you got Taylor and Gibson up top there. I like the start of your running backs. At some point, do you have to come back to that position though?
Oh yeah, this is the biggest thing I'm trying to figure out is when do I take that third running back? Because in my strategy right now, it's two running backs and a tight end early on, and then start getting these receivers that I like Lamb and Higgins, and I got McLaurin. I went with Dak. Maybe I would have taken Javonte Williams there if he fell, but he didn't. That's what I'm trying to figure out now when I have to fine tool the strategies, figure out when to get my third running back, because I would like to have a third reliable running back. Mm-hmm. Maybe this guy can fit the bill, but it's very questionable right now.
AJ Dillon. Okay, so after Connor goes Devin Singletary and then AJ Dillon as we hit the 10th pick in the eighth round. I think like AJ Dillon's future really depends on what happens to Aaron Jones, right? If Aaron Jones comes back to Green Bay, you're not taking him in the eighth round, are you?
No. So if Aaron Jones signs, Dillon might just be waiver wire guy again, or maybe like that solid bench running back, but not someone that you want to start each week. Like, I guess like similar to that role that Jamal Williams has been playing. Like, he had value, but not enough to start.
Yeah, I know that, you know, it's funny too. I remember, you know, during training camp last year, there was that day where fantasy Twitter kind of went nuts because AJ Dillon showed up in shorts and he had, you know, quads the size of tree trunks.
For days.
Yeah. I mean, so like everybody sort of went nuts about that. But, you know, Aaron Jones ended up having another really good year. I'll tell you what, Josh Jinski, who was the number one pick, is putting together a really nice draft. So just finishing out the eighth round, Jarvis Landry and then Devontae Parker, the final pick of the eighth round. But on the turn, Chase Claypool right there. So I thought that's a pretty solid start. I am back on the clock here, and I need a wide receiver. I'm torn here. As much as I really would like to take this guy, you know what? It's a mock draft. Let's just get wild. We're going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, partially because I'm a Trojan homer, but also because I do like what his talent is and where he potentially lands. And again, if there's ever a time to sort of maybe do things you wouldn't do, it is in a mock draft like this. So real quick, just the start of the ninth round, Chase Claypool, Zach Moss, you took another SC guy, Michael Pittman, Zach Ertz at the 9.4. Amon Ross St. Brown at 9.5. Hunter Henry at 9.6. Your feelings about Zach Ertz? Do you think he stays in Philadelphia or does he go somewhere else this year?
I think he goes somewhere else because Philly's made it kind of known. Like, they're talking about a salary cut. They're talking about trading him. I thought the best case scenario for him would have been if he was in the Carson Wentz trade. Carson Wentz loves Ertz. He loves throwing at tight ends. I think Ertz might be he's applying for team washed right now, Marcus, because he did not look good last year. I think Dallas Goedert has replaced him as the tight end one there. He is someone that he's hard for me to put my finger on, like, but I don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of him in fantasy.
I have heard, I don't know if it's rumors or just, you know, wish casting about the Eagles drafting Kyle Pitts and having a dynamic tight end duo of Dallas Goedert and Kyle Pitts. Does that do anything for you?
I would much rather Kyle Pitts end up somewhere where he doesn't have to share the workload with another tight end. Like, I know people are saying top 10, he could be the first non-quarterback off the board or whatever. Like, I am hoping the opposite happens. I'm hoping he falls to 13 and ends up with Justin Herbert and then Chargers.
That would be interesting, especially if Hunter Henry doesn't come back, which is certainly a possibility. I like that idea. So like I said, so Hunter Henry goes at the sixth pick of the ninth round. T.Y. Hilton at 9.7. Damian Harris, Tariq Cohen, Jamal Williams, Leonard Fournette. And then the final pick of the ninth round is Marvin Jones. Any surprise that the Bucs running backs fell so far? I mean, Rojo at 8, Fournette at 9. That seems a little bit surprising to me, just because, especially because I thought Jones was really productive last year. I'm just surprised that they fell so far in this draft.
Yeah, I expected at least Jones to go higher because Lombardi Leonard was a thing. Lombardi Lenny, I mean, was a thing. But before the playoffs, I mean, when Ronald Jones was healthy, it was Ronald Jones that they were giving the bulk of the carries to. And you knew that I was off of Ronald Jones last year, but he looked explosive. He looked the part. And I think, you know, right now, eighth and for him and ninth for Fournette is more because people don't know how that's going to shake out. But I expect Jones to go higher come like August.
I do think he's going to go higher. And I think you're right about Fournette. He's just kind of a question mark. So that's the reason that he fell a little bit. All right. So Marvin Jones finishes out the ninth round, start of the 10th. It's our old friend Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki in the 10th round. This is what I told you. Remember, I said this, that, you know, I'm gonna tell myself that tight end's not deep, and then I'm gonna be sitting in a draft. I'll be like, ooh, Mike Gesicki in the 10th round. Fortunately, I was not the one who made that move. But it happened. Start of the 10th round is Mike Gesicki. Philip Lindsay is the second pick. Dallas Goedert with the third pick in the 10th round. And then Jerry Jeudy with the 10th pick. Or the fourth pick, I should say, in the 10th round. Jeff Wilson. Okay, so let's talk about this, because Jeff Wilson just comes off the board, fifth pick in the 10th round. Last year at this time, I think we were completely staying away from 49ers running backs because we had no idea what to expect from them. But we had Raheem Mostert go. I'm trying to find, where did Raheem Mostert go?
He went in round 8, I believe.
Wow, so that was, yeah, you're right. He went round 6. He's in round 6. But even that seems a little bit late, right? Or are we just still scared of 49ers running backs?
Unless they sign someone. So as of today, no. Like, I think as of today, you take that discount and you run with it, because Kyle Shanahan has shown us last year and years from, like, beyond that, that it's his system, and that whoever is getting the ball in his system can be productive for fantasy. So I think right now the fear is that they're going to sign or draft someone. But if they don't, like, and you get Mostert in the 6th, Wilson in the 10th, and I don't know, whoever is this year's Jamichael Hasty in like the 15th, you're golden, I think.
So Jeff Wilson, fifth pick in the 10th round. Hayden Hurst comes off the board after him. So we had a gap. I mean, we had the first four tight ends come off the board in the first three rounds. Then we waited until the 7th round for our next tight end. And then the most recent three rounds we've had, in rounds 8, 9, and 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tight ends come off the board. That feels about right, doesn't it? This feels about the time to kind of go get your tight end. If you don't get one of the big ones.
Yeah. I think so. I think now's you wait a little. Like, I think like 9th, 10th round, if you wait, is when you should. And I'm okay getting two of these guys because it just gives you a better chance of hitting on one.
All right. I'm doubling down on Michael Gallup. I'm going back to the well. You know, I know it was frustrating at times last year. The hope is if Dak Prescott is healthy, then that helps Michael Gallup. You know, and again, it's the 10th round. He is my 4th wide receiver. So I'm willing to kind of take that shot. I have a lot of upside wide receivers. And beyond Chris Godwin, I'm really hoping. I mean, this team is kind of hoping that these upside wide receivers hit.
When you took St. Brown in the 10th, that was, or the 9th, mm-hmm. I thought, and you were like, oh, I'm just going to take him. I thought you were taking Michael Gallup then.
Those are the two guys I was looking between. And I was like, do I go Gallup here and hope St. Brown falls? Because I didn't think I'd have a shot at both of them. I figured it was going to be one or the other. As it turns out, I ended up getting both. So it sort of worked out. Didn't mention it. So just before Michael Gallup, at 10.7, is Jalen Hurts. Are you okay with that draft price for Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I am. At that point in the 10th round, he was maybe even the 10th quarter. I think he was in the double-digit quarterbacks off the board, too. After, you know, 2 rounds after Matt Stafford and Tom Brady, I think that is a really good value for him. I actually, truthfully, expected him to go a little bit earlier.
12. He's the 14th quarterback off the board.
Wow.
So, yeah, 14th quarterback, I would definitely do that. But Alf Wins, who drafted him, he's gone very young at quarterback. He drafted Trevor Lawrence in the 6th. Now he has Jalen Hurts in the 10th. But all things considered, I think Alf Wins is putting together a pretty nice team. He goes Kamara and Swift first, then he follows up with 3 wide receivers at Thomas, Thielen, Robert Woods, Trevor Lawrence in the 6th, Tyler Boyd, Debo Samuel, Hunter Henry, Jalen Hurts. Yeah, it's a pretty good squad.
I love that he paired Hurts and Trevor Lawrence because he just needs one of those guys to hit and he's going to have a great team.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're gotten tight end heavy to start the 11th round. I'm on the board here. After I figure out what I'm going to do, I will reset and catch everybody up here.
But doesn't it feel great to not have to be looking at these tight ends? Like, I need one.
Right. No, I feel like that. I got that out of the way already. So, although it is getting thin at this point in the draft. So as I figure this out, I think, and let's see, where are we going at running back? All right, I am going to take a shot. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Carson Wentz here and just kind of play the upside here at my 2nd quarterback position. See what happens. If things work out and they figure out how to fix him, then I feel okay with both Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. And if not, I'm not really stressed. So let's catch up, though. After Michael Gallup in the 10th round, it goes Le'Veon Bell. You went Tony Pollard there, which, you know, not bad at all. Chase Edmonds, who I would have loved to kind of pair with Kenyon Drake, but that didn't happen. Kenyon Drake, end of the 10th round. 11th round starts with Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, Kenneth Gainwell, rookie running back, goes 3rd pick in the 11th. Gronk at the 4th pick. I went Wentz. J.D. McKissick off the board with the 6th pick in the 11th round right now. Kenneth Gainwell, that was your pick. You your thoughts on that?
I like him. He is someone that obviously he's not one of the top 3 running back talents in this draft class, but I think he comes in that 2nd tier. So those guys are more dependent on landing spot. But if he falls into a good spot where he's going to get volume in, you know, like the first year of his career, I think he could be a useful fantasy piece, especially when we're talking about grabbing guys as your fit. Like, he's my RB5. So at that point, I'm more worried about potential upside than I am someone who has a role where they're going to give me like 10 touches a week.
Anybody that you know, now that we are, what, double digit rounds, anybody you missed that you wanted, that you didn't get, that you were debating between, and maybe like they didn't come back to you the way you thought.
Yeah, so Javonte Williams was the biggest one that I feel like I missed out on in this draft. But and then there was that eighth round with receivers where I took Dylan and Pittman on that swing. I was hoping instead of Pittman to get one of Will Fuller or Deebo Samuel, because I just felt like both or. And then I took Dylan and thinking that I would get one of Claypool or Pittman. So I'm happy with Pittman there. But if I would have got Deebo or Will Fuller as my wide receiver four, I would have felt amazing.
Yeah, I was hoping that Fuller was going to fall to me, especially. I mean, look, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, but presuming he stays in Houston, to be able to pair Deshaun and Will Fuller would have been great. He just didn't make it back to me. And then on top of it, to have Deebo Samuel snaked out like literally one pick ahead of me, sort of stings.
How do you feel about Deebo? You're a Niners fan, and it feels like Ayuk is getting all the attention, and people kind of forgot about Deebo.
I think so too. Which honestly is why Deebo in the eighth I think feels pretty good. Especially what Ayuk in this draft went a couple rounds ahead of him. But I think he's going to be fine. I think Ayuk's going to have probably a bigger fantasy year, but I don't think that you're going to see Deebo just fall off a cliff. So Brandon Ayuk went in the sixth round. Deebo Samuel went in the eighth round. So basically two rounds separating the two of them right there.
I forgot. Oh, that's a good pick.
LaVisca Chenault comes off fourth pick of the 12th round. That's an excellent pick. Right. Big fella 23 is putting together a very nice draft. So after JD McKissick, mid of the 11th round, Julian Edelman, Darnell Mooney, Curtis Samuel, Cam Newton goes with the 10th pick in the 11th round. Rookie wide receiver Rashad Bateman goes with a second to last pick. Joe Burrow goes with the final pick in the 12th round. Start of the 13th is Latavius Murray. Start of the 12th, I should say. So Joe Burrow, last pick of the 11th round. Latavius Murray starts the 12th. Henry Ruggs, Emmanuel Sanders, LaVisca Chenault, and then Denzel Mims. Any surprise that Joe Burrow lasted as long as he did?
Yeah, Burrow and Chenault were two names that I did not expect to fall to the 12th round. Especially Burrow, I was hoping he fell to me, because something I'm trying to do more of this year, Marcus, is stack a little bit, like get a quarterback and a wide receiver. And I have Dak and I have Lamb on this team, but I also have T. Higgins. So if Joe Burrow fell, I was going to take him as kind of an insurance policy to Dak, but also to go with that T. Higgins stack.
Well, speaking of insurance policies, I'm taking Daryl Henderson in the 12th round as the insurance to Cam Akers. So we'll see how that goes. AJ Green goes right after Henderson. And then you got your second quarterback with Ryan Tannehill, who I also feel is – I feel like we are shorting Ryan Tannehill. Like, he doesn't get – I mean, the guy's been really good for 2 years now. At some point, I think we should all start to believe in him a little more.
Yeah, I feel like he can't shake those Miami days no matter how well he plays in Tennessee. Like, it's been a year and a half now. I think he's proven that, like, hey, I'm not the same guy I was in Miami, but – I think everyone in the back of their mind is like, is Ryan Tannehill this good?
Right. It's like, it's Ryan Tannehill. But at some point, we'll either buy in, and then the moment we all buy in is the point that it all, inevitably falls apart. All right. So coming up on the end of the 12th round, the final two picks of the 12th round, Mark Ingram, James White, Nyheim Hines starts the 13th, followed by Bryan Edwards. You're on the clock, but once you make your pick, okay, so you go Robbie Anderson, followed by Marlon Mack. I was big on Bryan Edwards last year. Obviously, it didn't happen. I don't know how you felt about him, but, I feel like that's a worthwhile shot at this point in the draft.
Yeah, I was high on Bryan Edwards last year in draft season. I had him on a good amount of like best ball teams. I thought Henry Ruggs was going to be like the take the top off the defense guy, and Edwards would be the possession guy. And it turns out neither one of them really had those roles. And I joked about it before in the pod, like when Bryan Edwards scored in week 17, I truly was like, oh, I forgot all about him. Like, he's still there. And but I like his talent, and I think there's right now in Vegas, there's plenty of targets up for grabs. Like, there's besides Waller, I don't think there's anyone we could say with confidence is like the surefire number two target.
So after Edwards, you went Robbie Anderson, Marlon Mack. Right after that, I took Jalen Reagor. You know, I'll buy back in on that one and see if it happens this year with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Irv Smith, who I know a lot of folks love, comes off the board as the sixth pick in the 13th round. Alf Wins gets his second tight end there. Matt Ryan comes off in the 13th, 13.7. Rookie running back Michael Carter is at 13.8. Gus Edwards at in the 13th round. That feels like stealing. Now, you know, who knows, you know, what the roles are going to be. I think J.K. Dobbins is the lead running back. But every time we tried to fade Gus Edwards, he came back and had a solid performance. I feel like getting him in the 13th round is incredible value.
Yeah. Where did J.K. Dobbins go?
Dobbins went third round. Mm-hmm.
Third round. Remember last year, Marcus, when Mark Ingram got hurt and those two split time, and like we would talk about it weekly, like we don't know which one of the, and then each week they'd kind of put up similar numbers. We got a 10 round discount on Gus Edwards. Like that is an amazing value.
Yeah, absolutely. So Matt Ryan goes 13th, then Michael Carter, Gus Edwards. Harrison Butker is our first kicker off the board at 13.10. Our first defense is the Washington football team, 13.11. OJ Howard is the final pick of the 13th round. So come back around, start round 14 with Baker Mayfield, followed by Zach Wilson, Tevin Coleman. So three Niners running backs get drafted. We'll see how Kyle Shanahan decides to juggle them. I can pretty much guarantee you that no matter who's playing well, they will shoehorn Tevin Coleman in so that he can run for 2.3 yards per carry and frustrate all of us. But he's the third pick in the 14th round. Justin Tucker goes right after that. The Buccaneers defense is the fifth pick in the 14th round. So we're getting a couple of defenses off the board here. In drafts, like, do you normally take a kicker or defense? I know Adam Rank does not do that. He'll just go and kind of pick one up as necessary. What are your feelings on the last couple picks in a draft?
For me, it depends. Like when I'm like, if I'm drafting the Sunday before or like the week before Thursday kickoff, I'm going to take my defense and kicker because we pretty much know who's on the roster and stuff. But when I'm drafting in like July for week one, that's in September, I'm not taking a defense and a kicker because there's so much that can happen. I'd rather take an upside shot on someone. Maybe they make the roster. Maybe they have a big summer or something like that. But again, if it's like, hey, the season starts off in 3 days, I'm just going to pick a kicker and a defense then.
So after the Bucks, a couple more kickers, Greg Zuerlein, Younghoe Koo, come off the board. I am on the clock trying to figure out what I'm going to do as I am scrolling.
This is going to put to the test if you're a defensive kicker drafter.
You know what? I tend to be, but I don't think I'm going to do it in this draft. I do know where I'm going to go here. I'm going to go, you talk about upside guys. I'm going to take Van Jefferson here.
I like that a lot.
And see where it goes. So Van Jefferson off the board, Robbie Gould after them. You go Corey Davis. So I saw that name there, and I'm like, that's not a bad pick.
That was your guy last year.
He was. I mean, it was the breakout season. He was. You know, I'm curious to see who's going to be this year's Corey Davis. Who, like, you know, Corey Davis was last year's Devontae Parker. so I'm kind of curious to see who it ends.
Michael
up
Gallup kind of fits that bill.
Great, I got him. I took him here, so hopefully that works out.
I do like your Van Jefferson pick a lot, though, because I think he can be the deep threat there.
I hope so. You know, and now having Stafford, you have a guy who will push the football deep, which is something they were missing. So after Corey Davis, Alexander Mattison near the end of the 14th round, by the person who took Dalvin Cook. So that's definitely just a smart play right there. Daryl Williams is at the end of the fourth round. So now we got a couple defenses. Steelers start the 15th, Rodrigo Blankenship. You went Chuba Hubbard. The Niners defense goes. You know, I'm gonna do this. Daryl Williams comes off the board. I'm going to take Damian Williams, figuring he's
back. Oh, that is such a good pick.
He's back after taking the year off for COVID. And, you know, how much workload he gets, how much he shares time with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm willing to take that shot with my last pick.
I would have rather your last pick than mine.
Chuba Hubbard's interesting. I mean, obviously was a big-time player in college at Oklahoma State. You know, we're all
fun waiting name.
It's a lot of fun name to say. So we're curious to see, obviously, where these rookies go and how that shakes out. So Niners defense, Damian Williams, the Jets defense with the sixth pick in the 15th round. So we got
that might be a Jet fan.
Might be, because that does seem wildly crazy early. So we've got six picks left, rather, in this draft. Any big takeaways from what you saw in this thing? Anything that you think is going to kind of be the norm for draft season?
I know we spoke about it earlier, but to me, it is just get your running backs early. Like looking at the second round with Robinson, Eckler, Swift, Akers, Gibson, like all these young running backs who last year might have been third, fourth round running backs or later, they're going in the second round now. Like you need to get your running backs early. And I think like you look at the fifth round, fifth round it was for receivers. Like that is when I think you want to be really in the receiver run. You don't want to be grabbing a receiver when everyone's grabbing a running back and then trying to find a running back when the rest are filling out their receivers.
Which is sort of the thing I felt like I ran into in this draft. And I part of the reason I picked the fifth spot. Now we were able to pick our own spots for this mock draft. I picked the fifth just because I felt like it really is kind of a pivot point. By the way, just finished up. So I'll just finish up the last picks here. The Jets, the Giants defense, Will Lutz, Antonio Brown with the ninth pick in the 15th round. Colts defense, Mason Crosby, and your Mr. Irrelevant here is Jared Goff, which Polk High 68 ends up with four quarterbacks. Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff to finish out. But I was saying I picked the fifth spot because I felt like it's really a pivot point in drafts. Do you go with one of those running backs like Alvin Kamara or Derrick Henry, or do you, you know, kind of go off the board? You go wide receiver Devontae Adams. I sort of went Travis Kelce with a big swing there, but you know, and I came back and got Cam Akers in the second, which I felt good about. But then I kind of felt like I spent the rest of the draft kind of chasing a little bit. So I think, you know, that's something to kind of take into account if you were in that fifth spot, you know, and if you decide to go Kelce early. I think if I had to do it again, I might probably go Derrick Henry in that spot and then feel like I have two good running backs at the beginning. And then, you know, maybe my third round pick ends up being a Waller or a Kittle or somebody like that. I like the team. I think it's okay. But I felt like I was sort of chasing it a little bit in this draft.
I felt like I was chasing receiver, but I think it's easier to chase receiver. Although I will say, like, don't do what I did and take two running backs and then don't take your third running back until the eighth round, because that's probably waiting a little bit too long because things happen to these running backs. And I feel a lot more comfortable if I had it doesn't have to be, you know, in the third round, my RB3, but if I would have got someone in like the fifth round, I think I would have felt a little bit better.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I felt like there were some things that were good. I felt like there were things that were okay. Your favorite pick maybe the favorite pick you saw in this entire draft.
The favorite pick I made, I'll go with T. Higgins in the seventh round because I expected him to go a little bit earlier. And Lamb and Higgins are two of my guys this year that I think you can get them as wide receiver twos, maybe even a little bit later. And I think they can be a wide receiver one this year. My favorite pick, I really do love in round two, and I know that's an early round to have a favorite pick, but these three picks in a row of Eckler, Swift, Akers, I just love seeing that because I think all three should be second round picks. I think all three have RB1 upside. And if I can get them in round two, I'm just going to love that.
I loved my Akers pick in the second round. I can't quite quit Kenyon Drake, and to get him in the fifth round, I feel really good about. And I go back to a thing Adam Rank said that, you know, we had huge expectations for Kenyon Drake, so we were left disappointed. But when it was all said and done, he had a good second half of the season, and he finished as kind of a low end RB1. So if I could get similar production from him in the fifth round, I feel really, really good about that. I loved some of the late round picks we saw elsewhere. We talked about the Gus Edwards pick, the Chenault pick, I thought was really good as well. So I thought some of those later round picks were really, really, really kind of interesting. So So thanks to everybody on the internet who jumped in and helped us out with this mock draft. I thought it was great. We'll definitely do some more of these. This won't be the last one we do. We'll do these kind of, you know, intermittently throughout the off season. It'll also be worth seeing how the board changes as we go through these. Like, I'm sure what we see now here at the start of March is going to look different when we get to, you know, mid-April into May and that sort of thing, once we've gone through free agency and the draft. Real quick, before we get out of here and close this thing up, last week we talked about video games. I talked about the, you know, the Legend of Zelda turning 30 in video games. And Steve mentioned that he played Pokemon. Pokemon turned 25. Pokemon is 25 years old. Steve, did you know that? Did you celebrate? Did you, did you evolve over the weekend or something? How do you yep. feel about that?
For the 25th birthday, I had a yellow electric cake and had a red and white decorative balls on it. No, I did not realize it was that old, but that does make me feel old, having been around for the duration of Pokemon and remembering those early origins. Like, holy smokes, that's wild. And I don't know if it's coming back anytime soon or if it's coming
back. It's never
back
gone away.
It's never left, really, right?
Well, if you like it, 900 Pokemon.
I always felt like it was going to move on, but kids keep... And I agree with Steve, man. This makes me feel old because I remember waking up each morning and I would, on a VHS, record the episodes of Pokemon so that I can rewatch them and stuff. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty old right now.
Oh, is Pokemon on like Netflix or anything? Is there a way we can go back?
I would think somebody has to.
It's a homework assignment
somewhere, right?
I think it still airs on Cartoon Network. Like, I don't think it's Ash Ketchum anymore, but there's like a new generation of Pokemon trainers that like there's a show about.
So allegedly, it's on Netflix and also possibly on Disney Plus. So I don't know.
My weekend plans are set.
So. Definitely worth investigating. So
Steve's gonna catch them all.
I know this has gone a little bit long, but we appreciate you guys hanging in there. So that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you ever need cheering up, start a fight with somebody who has hiccups. Be safe, take care of yourselves, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week.